All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome to those that are in the room here with us today, as well as those on the brand new live stream. I'm Allie DeVoe, a principal financial analyst at Boston Scientific in our urology and public health division, and I'll be our MC for this morning. I'm so excited to be here, surrounded by so many inspiring women and men, all working towards the same goal of advancing women in the workplace. At Boston Scientific, we believe in providing equal opportunities for growth to women and all of our employees around the globe. And we know how important it is to give them the tools they need to thrive at work and home. That's why we continually evolve our benefits and policies, why we offer development programs like mentoring, sponsorship, and networking, and why we have even set goals to increase the representation of women in leadership positions. So, with nearly 250 of my colleagues here today, and even more joining on the live stream, I know I speak for myself and the entire Boston Scientific family when I say we are incredibly proud to be partners of the Massachusetts Conference for Women and all that it stands for. I want to thank you all for choosing to join this breakout session on making your meetings matter. We know you had a lot of wonderful options and are so appreciative that you decided to spend the next hour with us. It is now my pleasure to introduce our speaker, the incredible Mary Abajay. Lightning and the thunder, 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 feel the thunder. Lightning and the thunder, 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 feel the thunder.
Okay. Now it's like, she has more, but you didn't give her time. But just say I'm fabulous.
She's great.
There you go. Thank you, Allie. Hey, you guys, I'm so excited to be at the Massachusetts Conference of Women. I've spoken at the Pennsylvania Conference, the Texas, and the Watermark, but this is the one I've always really wanted to speak at because I used to live here in Boston in the 90s, and I love this town, so thank you for having me. And by the way, in the front row is my first boss I ever had in my entire life, who decided to surprise me today. So thank you. And by the way, I think I'm older than she is. But anyways, to see you. All right. So you guys ready? We're going to have 60 minutes of fast-paced, practical advice and tips so that you can run better meetings from wherever you sit. All right. If you value your time, please stand up. Should be everybody. If you resent it when people waste your time, please sit down. And if you are sick and tired of attending meetings that are boring, unproductive, unengaging, and just plain suck, stand back up. Right? Why? Now you can give yourself applause, and now I give a standing ovation. I love it. Cheap trick. Go ahead, sit down. So let's talk about meetings. How many of you spend 10 to 20% of your time in meetings? Raise your hand. How many of you spend 20 to 40% of your time in meetings? How many spend more than 40% of your time in meetings? And think about it. How many of you would say that at least 50% of your meetings are well run and productive and engaging and good use of your time? Look around the room, not that many people. Because here's the scary truth about meetings, is that we don't do them very well. It's a $37 billion problem in America. And we can put a number on it because meetings cost money. They cost money when you pull people offline and put them in meetings. They are, the higher up you go in the organization, you more time you spend in meetings. The average white collar worker spends about 30% of time in meetings. Middle managers and above spend between 35 and 70% of their time in meetings. And here's the really scary part. Most people say most of their time spent in meetings is considered wasted and unproductive. So we need to fix that. We need to start making meetings matter and leading better meetings and stop throwing away our time and our money. And one of the reasons why meetings aren't well run is because we're not engaged. We don't think about them. We don't engage or design them right. There's no good leader in them. We don't ever have any follow-up, right? It's the same. Some people just take up all the air, right? Lots of things happen. So I'm going to show you 5 ways that you can make your meetings matter starting today. Number one, if it's your meeting, you got to take the lead. It's your meeting. Number two, we have to design our meetings for engagement, not for boredom, for engagement. Number three is you got to manage your participants, right? You've got to manage those pesky people that show up and they ruin your meeting. Number four, You've got to be able to recap and follow up. How many of you attend meetings and nobody recaps at the end? And you have no idea. And then you spend the next meeting talking about the same damn thing, right? You got to recap and follow up. And finally, because I said, whether you lead them or you participate, we all have to learn how to be good participants. And part of what I'm going to talk to you about today, this tactics and strategies, are things that you can use no matter where you sit in the meeting. Got it? Are you ready? All right, first thing is, you got to take the lead. And what do I mean by taking the lead? I mean, you've got to own the meeting. That means when is your meeting, you take the lead before the meeting starts, during the meeting, and after the meeting. Taking the lead means getting comfortable by putting on your bossy pants, right? And saying, this is my meeting. You open a meeting. You talk about the objectives. You review the agenda. You thank the participants. And you take control of the meeting right from the start. And you lead that meeting from beginning to end, and you close it. How many of you have been in meetings where the leader just sits there and does nothing, and the participants just run amok? That is not going to be you. So the first thing you do is take the lead, get comfortable with it. It's actually kind of fun to be bossy in a meeting. Make it happen. But taking the lead actually starts before you even get in the room. And what I mean by this is you're preparing. How many of you start your meeting by creating an agenda before the meeting? All right, good. You just fell in my trap because you're already behind the eight ball. You've already done wrong. You've done bad. Because your meeting needs to be designed by its purpose. Okay? Everything starts from the purpose. What is it you are trying to accomplish in this meeting? Right? What is it you are trying to accomplish in the meeting? Everything falls from purpose. And there's lots of reasons why we have a meeting. So once you have your purpose, then you have to determine, is a meeting really the way to go, or can I just send an email? Right? And when I say design for engagement, I want to say this. I want to say I use the term design very deliberately. Anyone can write up an agenda, but can you design an interactive experience so that people feel valued and they feel like they've had a good use of their time? So when I think of designing a meeting, I get my purpose, and then I think, what are the conversations that people need to have in order to reach our purpose? What do those conversations look like? And then I start thinking about, how do I want to have those conversations? Am I just going to sit around a big board table and just like wait for people to speak? Or am I going to design some conversations? Am I going to design some engagement, right? So you think about the conversations you need to have. Then you need to think about who are the people that need to have these conversations in order to get to our purpose, right? Then, and by the way, how many of you sit in meetings where you have no idea why you're there? No idea. And how many people run meetings you have no idea why the other people are there? Right? You've got to invite the right people. That is key. Invite only the people you need to have the conversations that need to happen in order to make your purpose. And then, my fine ladies and gentlemen, then you create your agenda. Once you have in your mind what you want to do. Now, I could spend all day talking to you about how to engage people in meetings, and that would be really fun, but I'm only going to give you a couple tips because I really want to cover all five. So, engaging people. How many people have been in meetings where one person just talks and you all listen? Right? That is not a meeting, that is a presentation, right? So when you want to make sure you're engaging people, you can do things like have round robins. You guys know what round robin is? You go around the room and you have everybody for 60 seconds say what they think. Get people up using post-it notes. Has you guys ever done a continuum before? I'm going to show you a continuum for those who haven't. I'm going to take this front row, have you stand up, come up here, and I'm going to say, how much are you loving me right now? On this end, you're going to be like, I love you. And on this end, I don't like you. So go line up. Well, see, that was easy, right? And then when people are lined up like that, you can say, well, what is it that you love? Or what is it that you don't like? Like, get people physically out of their seats at meetings. Anything you can do to get energy and create, you guys can go sit down. Thank you very much. Round of applause, round of applause. Anything you can do to be creative, to get people thinking, to get people engaged. Because one of the worst things you could do in a meeting is just talk at people, right? People need to know why they're there, and you bring people in the meetings because you want to tap into their wisdom, right? You want to tap into their ideas. That's why they're there. So make sure when you're designing your agenda, you're getting creative about how you're tapping into people. Design for engagement, not for boredom. Now, one of the ways that you can help your engagement when you're designing is to use ground rules. How many of you use ground rules? Perfect. For those that don't, If you remember nothing else from today, I want you to remember ground rules. Because your role as a meeting leader is to maximize participation. And people can be very annoying and disruptive. And if you have a ground rule, if you have some ground rules, or you can call them meeting norms or teaming agreement or whatever you want to call them, that kind of lays the roadmap for people. This is how we're going to be in this meeting. This is how we're going to operate. And then it gives you permission to enforce that. So some of my favorite ground rules that I like to use are these. And by the way, you only need a couple. One ground rule I use a lot with my groups is to use I statements. And here's what I statements are. When people are talking about their opinions, their ideas, they're saying, here's what I think, here's how I feel about it, here's what's going on for me, as opposed to everybody, you, they, them, right? You don't know what everybody, you, they, them thinks. Make people own their contributions by using I statements. One conversation at a time, right? This means if Lori Van Dam is talking, we are all listening to Lori, we're not sidebarring off, right? Another one is one topic at a time, which means if we're talking about bananas, we're going to talk about bananas and not apples till we're done, keeping people on track. One of my favorite ones is land the plane. Who sits in meetings with people who are long-winded, right? And all you got to do with land the plane is just do like this. You have the ground rule, and then you can just do this, land the plane. Help people be brief. Help people understand what they need to do. Of course, respectful communication, seek to understand. These are all classics. Another favorite of mine is don't beat a dead horse, right? How many people would love to have that as a ground rule? Don't beat a dead horse, right? So these can be fun. Full engagement is another one. Make sure that people, when they come to your meetings, that they're there, whether they're voluntold or volunteered, make sure they're engaged. E-etiquette. There should be no meeting ever run in America or in the world that doesn't have a norm or a ground rule on phones and mobile devices. People cannot actually hear and read at the same time. Your executive function does not work that way. You can either hear and engage, or you can type and read. So make sure you have some sort of e-etiquette rule. And one thing that really kills me about this one is it's usually the leaders that are the worst, right? How many of you guys have people that lead your meetings and they're the ones on the phone, right? And they're like, no, I can hear you. They can't. E-etiquette. Another one of my favorite rules is what I call the ouch rule. And the ouch rule can be really helpful when you're having a meeting that's going to have a little bit of debate, perhaps a little bit of contention, perhaps a little bit of conflict. And the ouch rule says this. If we're in a debate, and let's say I say something that offends Shruti, it is actually Shruti's responsibility to say the word ouch. Because when Shruti says ouch, then I will know that I have said something perhaps offensive or that she landed wrong with her. If Shruti doesn't say ouch, what happens? Shruti leaves the meeting. I have no idea I've ouched her. She hates me for the rest of my life, right? And we never have a good relationship. So the ouch rule can be really helpful when you're leading a meeting that's going to have some conflict. The Vegas rule, of course, is sometimes you need confidentiality. And the Vegas rule says what we talk about here stays here. Share the air. That's going to help you with those people that never shut up. We're going to have a share the air rule. The I can live with it rule. The I can live with it rule says if we make a decision in this meeting, whether you agree with it or not, when we walk out of this meeting, you're supporting it and you're going to live with it. You're not going to badmouth it, right? And then the parking lot is another great rule. Who uses the parking lot? Great. So for those of you who don't know what a parking lot is, it is simply a piece of paper, a flip chart, something where you write down people's ideas or action items or decisions, things that are important but not germane to today's meeting. So that way you don't get off track, you put it in the parking lot. But you have to make sure that you go back to the parking lot at the end of the meeting and do something with it. So these are a few ground rules, and I have a question mark at the bottom one because honestly, ground rules should pertain to really what your dynamics need, call for. And so you should make up your own ground rules, figure out what your, kind of the dysfunction of your people, and figure out a ground rule that will help them be more functional in your meetings. And when you do ground rules, it's very important. There's two ways to do them. One, you as a meeting leader can say, here are the ground rules. Will everybody live by them? And make people publicly say, I will. Or you can say, as a meeting leader, let's create some ground rules of how we want to operate in a meeting together and have the group help make the ground rules. The former is faster. the latter gets more buy-in. And so if you are starting like a new team or you're starting a new project that's going to meet a lot, I would recommend that you let the team create its ground rules for its meeting norms. When you'll see in a few minutes how these ground rules can change your meetings dramatically, but only if you enforce them. Because the third thing we have to do is we've got to herd those cats, right? We've got to manage the participants in the meeting. So you've taken the lead. You've designed the best meeting in the world. It is going to be so amazing. Your purpose is clear. Your activities are awesome. And then what happens? The people come and they ruin it, right? The people come and they ruin it. And one person comes in and they ruin it. And then because one person has bad behavior, let's say Larry Longstory shows up and Larry keeps talking all the time, then what happens? Then people drop out, right? Or people disengage. Then you get someone drop out, Danny on his phone, like this is what happens. So you've got to manage participants from the very beginning to the very end. And here are the people you are going to see in your meetings. You are going to see Susie Sidebar or Sam Sidebar. Susie or Sam Sidebar, they're the ones that are constantly pss, 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 not paying attention, right? Who's ever had Susie or Sam Sidebar in their meetings? Yeah. How annoying are they? Very. All right. You're also going to have Negative Neil or Negative Nancy. This is the wah, wah, wah. This is the person that's always like poking holes in every idea. We've tried that. It didn't work before. Oh, that idea's never going to work, right? Who's ever had Negative Neil or Negative Nancy? Yeah, they're annoying, aren't they? They could just take all the air out of the meeting. Then if you're lucky, you might see overbearing Oliver or overbearing Olivia, right? And this is the person that just won't shut up. Like they're always like, me, 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 me. I want to talk. I want to talk. I want to talk. They hog up all the air. They are the first ones to speak about anything. And they just take up all the air spaces in the meeting. Who's ever had an overbearing Olivia or Oliver? Yeah. Who finds them annoying? Yeah, they're going to ruin your meeting. Then, of course, we have the Danny dropout or Donna dropout. And this is the person who's like either on their phone the whole time or they make it completely clear and obvious that they would rather be anywhere but here, right? And they're just the worst. They're sitting back there and they're just completely disengaged. Who's ever had that? Who finds that annoying? Great. Then we have Broken Record Betty or Broken Record Bob. And this is the person that keeps repeating themselves over and over and over again. This is the person that keeps like revisiting decisions and they are literally like a broken record. Who's seen that? Who hates that? Right? We hate that, right? This is my personal nemesis. This is the one that makes my stomach just churn. Like whenever this person shows up, I literally start to feel anxious and frustrated and angry. And that would be Larry or Lori Longstory. This is the person where if it takes 10 words to make a point, they're going to use 175. And before they get there, they're going to tell you some long-ass story, right, to build up to it, and it goes on and on and on again. You can just feel your soul dying a little bit as they keep talking, right? Who's ever had that? Yeah. Who hates that? Hate that one. Then we have Tangent Tammy. Or Tangent Tommy. Tangent Tammy and Tangent Tommy is the person that when you say, oh, if you're talking about bananas, they're like, oh, I want to talk about oranges. And they're constantly taking the meeting off on a topic that is not related except somewhere in their own mind, right? Who is annoyed by that, right? And it happens. And then the last one that's going to ruin your meeting is called Prickly Pete or Prickly Patricia. And this is the person where when you're running the meeting, they contradict everything you say as meeting leader. They're the ones that are constantly vying for control. If you say, well, let's put our ideas on post-it notes, they say, well, oh, no, no, I think we should use flip charts, right? They're constantly vying for control of your meeting over you. Who's ever had Prickly Pete or Prickly Patricia, right? Who find that annoying? Yep. All right. So here's the thing. When these people show up in your meetings, you have to do something about it. Because if you don't, if you let Lori or Larry Longstory go on, you're going to get yourself a whole bunch of Susie Sidebars and Danny Dropouts, right? When you have overbearing Olivia taking up all the space, then you are definitely going to have someone like Larry Longstory have to come up and like, you know, counter her for time. And Broken Record Betty, well, that's not good for anybody, right? And Prickly Pete is going to cause your meeting to go off track. So what you need to do is get ready to intervene. Okay, this is when you put on our big girl and our big boy pants, and this is when we take the lead, and this is when we say, oh no, not in my meeting. And we do this with grace, with humor, if that's your thing, with tact, but we also do it directly. So I want everyone to stand up for a minute, and I want you to think, like, I want you to get calm and neutral, and I want you to think about that person that drives you the most crazy in meetings. Of all these people, who drives you the craziest? Okay? We all have them. For me, it's Larry Longstory. I get anxious just thinking about him. So when you're going to intervene on these behaviors, you've got to come from a place of calm. And you've got to come from a place of goodwill. Your intention is to help that person. Your intention is to help that person exhibit the behaviors that are going to be good for the meeting. Your intention is not to slam that person. Your intention is for the greater good. Now go ahead and sit down. But feel that calmness. That's what's going to do. And I lead a lot of meetings standing up because I'm a professional facilitator. So I always kind of, when I know I have to intervene, I stand, I get really calm. All right. So to intervene on these behaviors, you need to be direct. You need to acknowledge the behavior in some way. You need to ask for a different behavior. And then you always thank the person. Got it? And try not to assume that the person is just doing it because they're a jerk. Try to assume positive intention. So here's how we're going to play this game. We're going to talk about Susie Sidebar. So if you've ever in your life been a Susie Sidebar, please stand up. And by the way, I am the worst Susie Sidebar in the whole world. If I attend one of your meetings, I promise you I'm going to be sidebarring. And here's the thing. I'm not sidebarring because I'm trying to be a jerk to you. Keep standing if you're a Susie Sidebar. I'm sidebarring usually because I've thought of something funny, and I have to share that joke with somebody. Like, I can't let a good joke go. All right, so you, sir, when you sidebar, why do you do it?
Because I want to be heard.
You want to be heard, okay. When you sidebar there in the yellow scarf, why do you do it? Because you've lost interest. Yeah, you're not a terrible person. You're not a terrible person. When you sidebar, Shruti, why are you doing it?
Something I have to say that has to be said.
Has to be said right now, right? So these are not horrible people. Go ahead and sit down. But you do need to stop it. So if you have a Susie sidebar, here's a couple. This is actually really easy to do. A couple things you can do. You don't even have to address that person personally. You can just say, hey, everybody. I just want to remind everybody that we have the ground rules of one conversation at a time. So could we have one conversation at a time? Thank you. Or you could address that person, say, hey, Shruti, would you mind? We have one conversation at a time, and I can't hear Lori speaking, right? The other thing you could do, how many of you lead meetings standing up? Okay, here's my greatest tip. You're going to see this one a lot. If someone's doing something that I don't like in a meeting, I go and I stand next to them. And like, they're going to get off that phone, or they're going to like stop that sidebarring really quickly. So don't be afraid to use your physical self. So Susie Sidebar is easy peasy, especially if you have ground rules. Now, let's say it's not your meeting. Let's say you're just a participant and she's annoying you or he's annoying you. As a participant, you can simply speak up and say, hey, I'm sorry, everybody. I can't hear the person speaking. Could we have one conversation? You can use all these tactics I'm talking about as a participant as well. All right, my negative Neils. Who are my negative Neils? Come on, negative Neils. Own it. Who's ever been a negative Neil even for once? Thank you. And when you're being a negative Neil, what's driving that behavior?
I feel like my ideas are better.
You feel your ideas are better. All right. When you're a negative Neil, what's driving your idea? What's driving that behavior?
I can see people making a mistake that I've seen before.
Oh, so you want to help us. I love it, right? So here's the thing. Negative Neils usually want to help. Sometimes their ideas are better, but they want to help. So a negative Neil or negative Nancy rears their little negative head. A couple things you can do. Number one, you want to acknowledge their concerns. Don't poo-poo their concerns. You can say something like, hey, Neil, I get you have some concerns about this. Now here's where we have a choice point. You can say, let's talk about those now. Or you can say, let's put those in the parking lot. Let's continue brainstorming or whatever you're doing, and we'll come back to them. So that's one thing you could do. You could also say, you know what? I hear you have concerns. What are some of your solutions or ideas for fixing it? Turn it around. Get negative Neil or Nancy to actually find some solutions and problems. How can this be made better? Or then you could say, that's great, Neil. What are your three top concerns? Great. If you have a flip chart, write them down, and then you turn to the group. What do others think? and get the group to play in. Negative Neil does not have to bring your meeting down. If you can contain that behavior and, like, you know, turn that negative energy into something useful and productive, negative Neil is easy. All right, the next one we're going to talk about. Who are my overbearing Olivias? Please stand up. If you've ever been overbearing once in a meeting, please stand up. And what was driving that behavior for you, lady in the red?
I wanted to be heard.
You wanted to be heard. That's great. And when you were being overbearing, what was driving that behavior?
I like to talk.
You like to talk. And when you were being overbearing, what was driving that behavior? You knew better, right? So thank you, Olivia. So Olivias, they usually have a lot of passion, or they know better, or we're not hearing them. So overbearing Olivia is a little bit harder to intervene on, because here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to either interrupt her or him, or you're going to have to shut him or her down gently. So let's say you're having a conversation about something, and Olivia is raising her hand to talk again. You say, you know what, Olivia or Oliver, I get you want to speak, and... this is the yes and, which is magic. And let's hear from other people first, and then we'll come back to you. Okay? Don't butt Olivia. Yes and her. Or let's say Olivia's going on and on, and you say, hey, Olivia, let me interrupt you. I'm sorry, let me interrupt you for a minute. You've said a lot of important things right now. I think I heard you say A, B, and C. Is that right? Great. Hold on to that. Let's hear what others think about that. So you're gentle with her. You interrupt, but then you invite other people. And I literally use my hands. Hold on, and let's bring what others think. So you want to acknowledge her desire to speak. You want to thank her for speaking, and you want to invite other people to speak. And this is when, like, share the air, ground rule comes in handy. Helpful? Yes. These are pretty practical, right? And they work. That's the thing. And you can do them. All right. Who are my Danny dropouts? If you've ever Danny dropped out. All right, and so when you were dropping out, Danny, what was driving that behavior?
I was frustrated and didn't feel like my time was being valued.
Got it. And when you were dropping out, what was going on with that?
Same thing, and bored.
And bored, yep. And how about you, sir?
Boredom.
Yeah, great. All right, so thank you. So the first thing to do to keep Danny Dropout from dropping out is to not make your meetings boring. It's not that hard. Make them interesting. Control the other participants. Like, make them engage and give people something to do to talk about. Make sure you have the right people there. But when Danny is dropping out, here's what you want to do. You can also, like with Sidebar Susie, you can say, hey, everybody. We have a ground rule for full participation, so can we all be engaged? Or you can literally say, hey, Danny, I haven't heard from you in a while. What do you think, right? Really just call that person out in a kind way, in a way that has positive intention. The other thing you can do is, like the Susie sidebars, go stand next to Danny. Just go stand next to him, and he'll get off that phone pretty darn quick, right? So really that is some ways you can bring Danny back. But remember, if you have a lot of Danny or Donna dropouts, so that you're not running a good meeting, right? But when they are, when you have that lone wolf dropping out, bring him back in. All right, my broken record Bettys, where are ya? Broken record Bettys or broken record Bobs? Who's ever been a broken record in a meeting, please stand up. Thank you for your, because you know, we've all done these things. And so when you're being a broken record, what was driving that behavior?
Typically when, from a prior meeting, and you wanted some feedback from someone.
Who wanted some feedback?
We as a group.
Okay.
Needed a task done, and the task is never done.
Ah. So you were frustrated and needed to be heard and make something happen. Yeah, that's oftentimes, thank you, broken record, that's oftentimes what happens. And what happens is we make up stories about why people do stuff. Oh, why were you a broken record? Thank you, right? Thank you, broken record. That's what happens. When I hear people being a broken record, you know what the story I make up about them is? That they're stupid. Right? And that is the worst thing you can do, because they're not stupid, right? You got to watch your stories, because most of the time broken record is being a broken record because they're not being heard or something isn't being accomplished. So take the time to really make sure that person was heard. You might literally say, you've already said that. Is there something about what you're saying that you don't think we're hearing? Right? Or you can say, you know what, we've already talked about it. It's right here. What's different? Help me understand what's different. Make sure they feel heard. Or you say to the group, broken record just said this. What do others think about that? Like, get some people in the group to acknowledge, because broken record will not stop doing it until that person feels heard. Can't look at this guy, Larry Longstory. So here's the story I make up about Larry or Lori Longstory. I make up that they're usually from the South, and I make up that they're like Southern gentlemen, and they speak even slow. Like, not only do they have a long story, but they say it very slowly, right? All right, my Larry Longstories. If you've ever been a Larry Longstory, thank you. Please, please tell me why. What drives that behavior?
I don't know how to edit.
You don't know how to edit? All right, great. God, you got to get all the things. So you have a desire to share. Yeah. Who else has ever been in a Larry Longstory? Anybody? 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 Oh, yeah. And when you're being a Larry Longstory, what was driving that behavior? You weren't prepared. I love it. Thank you. Right. So if you have a Larry Longstory, what you're going to have to do is you are going to, it's very similar to overbearing Olivia. You're going to have to interrupt, right? If you have the ground rule of land the plane, you can just be Larry, Larry, right? So you can interrupt and say, hey, Larry, love the story. I usually do this. I'm getting a little lost. Can you tell me how this is important to what's going on now? Or what's the punchline? Or, I'm really sorry. We're at a very limited time. What's the bottom line here? So you can really encourage them to bottom line. If you know that you have a Larry, or go stand next to him again because if they get long-winded, but if you know that you have a Larry Longstory in your meeting periodically, you might also go have a private conversation with Larry and say, like, dude, you're killing me. And really, like, be kind and gentle. But oftentimes, Larry Longstories, maybe they're not prepared, so make sure they're prepared. Or they have a lot of background information they think is really relevant. So help them see what's relevant and what's not relevant. Because Larry Longstories will, of course, derail your meetings. Tangent Tammy, who are my tangent people? Who are my people who are ends on the Myers-Briggs? Because you are the tangent people. And you're going to have a lot. And what drives your tangent behavior?
Honestly, I just want to get everything out. I want to share as much info as I can.
Yeah, great. Awesome. Yeah. And what drives your tangent behavior?
You get new
ideas, yeah. And smart people go on tangents, right? So when you have tangents that happen, bring them back in. And this is literally as simple as saying, like, hey, Tammy, that's a great idea. I love to talk about oranges, but let's finish talking about bananas now. But you know what? Let's put oranges on our parking lot and we can get back to it, right? So bring them back in. Or you can literally say, you know, I'm sorry, I'm a little confused. How are oranges relevant to bananas? Because they may have a connection, but you got to really address it and bring it in. And if anybody ever says, are we on a tangent? Chances are you are. And by the way, again, all of these you can do from where we sit. So a lot of times when I facilitate meetings, I don't have any idea what the hell they're talking about. No idea what the hell they're talking about because I've been hired to facilitate a meeting. But I can tell by people's eyes when they're on a tangent. When you see like the eyes kind of glaze over, I'll say, I think we're on a tangent. And people are like, how do you know so much about X, Y, Z? I'm like, well, that's what I get the big bucks for. But you can just tell because the energy drops. All right, Prickly Pete. Now, I do confess I am a bit of a Prickly Pete. If I come to any one of your meetings, if I'm not sidebarring, I'm going to be vying for control of your meeting because I'm not going to think you're running it well enough, right? So who's ever been a Prickly Pete? Yep, and why was that? What was driving that behavior for you?
Because generally I'm the leader.
Yeah. And it's hard not to be, isn't it? Yeah, absolutely. So when you have a Prickly Pete in your meeting, what you want you to do is you've got to kind of kill them with a little bit of kindness. You do not want to go toe-to-toe with a Prickly Pete in your meeting. So first of all, acknowledge they have a point. So let's say you guys, let's get up and put our ideas on post-it notes around the room. And let's say Prickly Pete says, oh no, Mary, that's stupid. We should just do a flip chart. You can say, you know what? You have a point. We could do it that way. And, not but, and I'd really like to try it this way. So would you be willing to try it this way? Always ask for their support publicly in front of a meeting. Because were they going to say no? And if they do say no, the group is going to actually support you, right? Because you've been gracious. The other thing that you can do is you can acquiesce sometimes. Sometimes they actually might have a better idea. And that will give you points with your meeting leader as well. So you might say, you know what, Larry or Prickly Pete, that's actually a good idea. Let's do that. What do others think? Always when you don't know, ask others. And you can use Prickly Pete. What you don't want to do is actually get into a contest of wills with Pete. You either say, I want you to support my idea, or you say, yeah, let's try it your way. I was facilitating this big group once, and I was kind of moderating a panel, and I knew a lot of people in the group. And apparently, Eileen left, because apparently I was only asking, getting audience questions on the left. And this woman on the right, she stood up and said, "Mary, you are not moderating this panel well. You're only looking over there, and you're not looking up here." And I said, "Gabrielle," because I knew her, "would you like to do this?" And she goes, "Yes, I would." And I said, "Come on down." And it was hilarious, because I didn't care if she was right. Maybe I wasn't. And the audience loved it. So don't be afraid also to give up the lead for a few minutes, right? Because by giving up the lead, you're actually enforcing your power again. So Prickly Pete, don't let that person throw you off. So, can you guys do these behaviors? Of course you can. It's about finding the words, being calm, and having actually the courage to intervene. The first couple times you do it, it's going to feel awkward, but once you start doing it, then people are going to start really being engaged in your meetings. All right, so we've taken the lead. We've designed for engagement. We are managing and herding those cats. The next one we're going to talk about is recap and follow-up. And honestly, I can't even believe I have to say this in public, but it is one of the most common problems in meetings, is that we don't close them well. And I am just as guilty of it when I run my team meetings with my own internal organization. All right, recap and follow-up. Every meeting needs to save 3 or 4 minutes at the end to recap what we did, what we decided, and what we're going to do next. Meetings create more work, right? That is what they do. And if we're not following up on that work, then we've just wasted everybody's time and everybody's money. So it is so simple to follow up. So during the meeting, hopefully someone's taking notes. And hopefully that's not you. Because if you're a meeting leader, it's hard to run your meeting, manage those, herd those cats, and take notes. Make sure someone's taking notes. Every time an action item is called out in a meeting, it needs 3 things. A specific name for the action items, buy bananas. It needs an owner, not we're going to buy bananas, Lori's going to buy bananas. And it needs a due date. When do we need those bananas? Lori is going to buy a dozen bananas by December 23rd. Someone writes that down. So you say it out loud when it happens. You reconfirm it. Lori, is that what you're going to do? You're going to buy 12 bananas by December 23rd? Great. And then at the end of the meeting, you recap all the do-outs. So it happens a couple of times. They have to be confirmed, articulated, and written down. Now, you leave the meeting. Guess who is responsible for making sure those things happen? That's right, you are. The meeting leader, you are responsible. That's what taking the lead is all about. Now, feel free to delegate that to someone, and that's fine. Delegate all you want, but you still have to make sure that whoever you delegate that to makes it happen. And so make sure you are clear whether you want, whether I want Lori to call me when she has the bananas, whether I want to email when she has the bananas, whatever it is your job to make sure the recap and follow-up happens after the meeting. All right, got it? Easy peasy? And why don't we do this? Who knows why we don't do this, but we don't, do we? All right. Now, all of this is great, but you also have to be a good participant, right? We have to understand how we show up in meetings. If we want other people to show up well in meetings, then we need to show up well in meetings. And being a good participant means that we pay attention, we engage, we come prepared. We help other people stay engaged. We help other people be prepared. We call out other people's behaviors because it's everybody's job, right? You as a leader can't be the only one making the meeting matter. Everybody does. Have you ever run a meeting and your people show up and they're just not prepared? And how frustrating is that, right? So we take responsibility from where we sit, wherever we sit, that we are all showing up. And as I just said earlier, all those things around managing participation, anyone can do that from anywhere we sit. We call it guerrilla facilitation. And you can make the meetings better. Now, if it's your boss, that's being Larry Longstory. You got to be very tactful, right? But you can encourage and ask for things. Let's say you're in a meeting and there's no clear agenda or the leader didn't give the agenda. You could say like, oh, excuse me, I'm sorry, but I'm not quite sure what's the agenda for today. Or, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not quite sure what's the purpose we're trying to get today. Oh, you know, you can ask these questions and say things in a nice and tactful way that can help make meetings matter. Now, I have to talk about conference calls, right? Conference calls are meetings too. They're their own special kind of hell. Am I right? Can I get a hallelujah on that? How many of you spend time on conference calls and they suck? They're awful. Here's the thing. When you are running a conference call, you need to be a very, very, very strong host. Because without those social cues from other people that you see in the room, your conference calls go astray. So you really got to take good, firm control of these conference calls, right? And here's one of the reasons why you have to take control. Because this is what people are really doing on conference calls. They're not listening to you. They're not talking. 65% of people confess to doing other work on conference calls. If you do other work on a conference call, raise your hand. I don't know how I would get anything done if it wasn't for the conference calls, right? How many of you are sending emails during conference calls? Exactly, right? And then when I forget to like turn my volume down, then I'm like, oh, damn, I just got busted. Some people are eating or making food during conference calls. Yep, I mean, how else do you eat? When is there time to eat? Going to the restroom? That's what the mute button is for. If I'm on a conference call from like 10 to like 11, my coffee's hit me and I gotta pee. Like, I gotta go in. Like, texting, who's ever texted during conference call? Social media, I think I may have sent a tweet or two. Video games, I've definitely played poker while I'm on a conference call. Online shopping, how do you think I got these shoes during a conference call? Exercising, who's ever exercised? Or how many of you are so good you can take another call? Right. So this is what happens on conference calls. This is why you really got to be clear. So I'm going to just give you a couple of tips on running a great conference call. Number one, know the technology. Oh, and by the way, I also mean when you're doing a mixed media meeting too, like you have people in the room and you got people on the phone, which are the worst things ever. So this is the quote to that. First of all, you've got to know the technology. If you're using Adobe Connect, if you're using like Skype, whatever you're using, make sure you know the technology. You want to make sure people know ahead of time the access for information for the technology. Make sure they have everything they need ahead of time. You want to make sure that you know whether or not there's going to be any contentious issues or conflict in a conference call, because that's really hard to manage on a conference call. I want you to send out a pre-meeting reminder. And I want that pre-meeting reminder to hit somebody's box 15 minutes before the conference call. Because what do we do before conference calls? We're in our office. Yeah, we're in emailing, this and that, and they're like, oh shit, it's like 10 o'clock, right? And then what do? We search for that conference call number, and then we're late. So make sure it hits their box in. All right, so that's what you do before. At the conference call, you're going to be the first one on the line. You are arriving 2 minutes early. It's going to be a painful 2 minutes, but you're going to be there 2 minutes early. Whenever you hear that beep, you are going to introduce yourself, and you're going to say, hello, my name is Mary, or you'll say whatever your name is. Hello, this is Mary. We're going to start the meeting in about 2 minutes. And then you know what you do? You shut up. Because if I say, oh my God, Lori Van Dam, how are you? And how's it been? And then we start talking, and then what happens? People start rolling in and beeping in, and they either get quiet or it gets to be chaotic. So I go silent. Next person comes on. Oh, hello, Shruti. This is Mary. We're going to start in 2 minutes. I know it's going to feel weird and rude, but here's what else I'm doing. I'm writing down the names, everybody who's called in. So when the meeting's ready to start, I say, all right, it's 10 o'clock. We're going to start the meeting. I have Lori, Shruti, Karen, Laura, and Jeremy on the line. Is there anybody else on this call? And what has that just done for you? That is, how do you make you start your meeting in an orderly fashion? Because what happens when you say, hey, everybody, sorry I'm late, it's 10 o'clock, who's on the call? Everybody talks at once, right? Everybody talks over each other. So now that you have a list of people, and then you add to it, now you also have a list of people that you can actually engage with. So you can say, we're going to start this meeting, or it's going to be determined what kind of fruit we're having at the holiday party. Last meeting we decided came down to oranges or bananas, so I'd like to hear some pros and cons for each. We're going to go around. Everyone's going to get 30 seconds. Lori, what's your pro and con for bananas? Like, really control it. Let people know that they are going to be talking. That keeps you from doing other things. So take control the meeting, call the meeting order, and just really engage people. Easy? And it's actually kind of fun. Once you really get the hang of it, it's kind of fun. All right. I think I just did this. Say, the ground rule that you want to use Oh, by the way, if for some reason you don't get on that phone call early and you're not able to write people's names down, when you say, okay, let's see who's on the call, see if you can separate it. You could say something like, let's start with our West Coast office, or let's start with ladies first and then gentlemen. Like, you can do some way so everyone's not talking at each other. If you are in a conference room and someone's calling in, you know, the mixed media, one of the things that I do, a couple of things I do, is number one, you can assign a virtual minder. So whenever I'm facilitating a meeting that has people in the room and people on that conference thing in the middle, I say, you, what's your name? Chanel. I say, Chanel, you're going to be the virtual reminder. So Chanel's job is now to make sure that thing gets moved around when it needs to be. And Chanel's job is also to make sure to remind me and everybody else that we have people on the phone. So you have a virtual reminder. Another thing that people do if you have a lot of these things is you can leave one chair around the table with either a picture or a sign saying like East Coast office. And it gives you a reminder that you have people on the phone. So do these things. The other thing that you want to do is for every conference call, the ground rule you need to have is say your name when you speak. How many of you are on conference calls? You have no idea who the hell is talking, right? Say your name when you speak. So as a meeting leader or a participant, you want to really enforce that. You can say, I'm sorry, who was this? This is Mary. I'm sorry, I didn't catch who just said that. So really enforce that. That will make a huge difference in your conference calls. Now, a few more tips to try. Number one, when you are going to net for your next meeting that you are having, I want you to spend twice as much time designing your agenda than you did before. I want you to get creative. Spend more time really thinking about what's the purpose, what would be a more engaging way to accomplish that purpose, what are the conversations we need to have, and who do we need to have. Reconsider your attendee list. Like, who do you really need in this meeting? Who would be really helpful? Make sure they know why they're there. Cut your time in half. If you normally have an hour staff meeting, see what you can do in a half an hour. You might be really surprised, especially if you make it a game for people. We're going to try and accomplish everything we usually accomplish in half the time. Start on time. How many of you have a problem with late meetings? It means to start late. This is one of the hardest things you can do, but one of the best things you can do is start your meetings on time and then resist with all the will you have the urge to recap for people that come in late. That is disrespectful to people that came in early. Now, if it's your boss, that's another story. But I was doing this workshop for a law firm, and the senior managing partner said, Mary, we have a terrible problem with me starting meetings late. This is a law firm. And I'm like, he goes, what can we do about it? And I said, well, why don't you start your meetings on time? And he goes, well, how do I do that? I go, you start your meetings on time, but we never start on time. I'm like, you're the managing director. You're the boss. If you don't start these meetings on time, why should anyone else? Like, start them on time and don't recap. I have a client that starts his meetings on time, and if you are 1 minute late, you are not allowed into that meeting. I don't know that you have to be that draconian, but let me tell you, you think people are late for his meetings? No, they are not. No, they are not. Stand up. Have your meeting standing up. People get really succinct when they're standing up. They're ready to go. I have them standing up. Use timed topics. I love timed topics. This is when you like put your iPhone or something in the middle of the table and say, we're going to talk about this for 30 seconds and see how many ideas we can get in 30 seconds. If you know you have long-winded people, say, I'm giving everybody 45 seconds to say their piece on something, and you literally have the time go off. Because if your first person goes for 15 minutes, what's the second person going to do? 20 minutes to beat them. Any kind of visuals you can have, like flip charts or things like that to record your ideas, visual reminders help people stay on topic. And if you do nothing else from today, please, people, use ground rules. They will change your meeting's life. Now, my last bonus tip is to get feedback. If you run regular meetings or you're running a special meeting, take 2 minutes at the end of the meeting to get some feedback. And it is simple as doing what I call a plus delta. Say to people, what did you like? What worked well with our meeting? So I will ask you, what worked well today's session?
Interactive.
What else?
Energizing.
Want anything else? Practical, yeah, great. So when you write these down, you say thank you. And then you say, what could we do better next time? What could be improved? Not what sucked, but what could be improved? So what would we do better with this session next time if there was another one?
Tell people the slides are in the app.
What else?
Address web conferencing.
direct web conferencing. Yeah, great. Thank you. And when people give you the ideas, you don't defend them. You just say, yes, thank you. It takes 3 minutes. Your people will help you run better meetings if you ask them. How many of you would love it if someone asked you how to run a better meeting that you're in, right? You would love it. All right. So my last tip for you before we do a little Q&A is try not to be this person.
Allow me to play devil's advocate here, but allow me to be a dick for a second, but with no consequences.
Let's pull back on that for a second. I fell asleep while you were talking, and I have no idea what's happening.
I've got a stupid question. It's actually, like, a really smart question, but I was wondering if I say stupid beforehand, does that make me, like, kind of modest? Is that, like, sort of charming thing to do, right?
Let's pick that up in the next meeting. I need a few days to figure out what the hell you're talking about.
But will this scale? One of the managing directors once used that phrase in a meeting, so now I use it all the time.
Sorry, this is just a work email I have to answer. I'm actually playing words with friends with everyone else in this meeting but you. Do you know a four-letter word for long-winded?
If there's an outside chance, you might be right. You're wrong. You're definitely wrong.
I think what you're trying to say is, so what I'm gonna do is take that idea and then make it sound like it was mine.
Let's try to make this viral, okay? I just heard about this site called reddit.com. Can we get on there?
I think we should make this a cross-platform opportunity. I watch Shark Tank.
Let's take this offline. Yeah, can we pick this up again? Maybe 15 minutes after never again.
Well, that's one idea. It's actually the one idea that sucks the most, so thank you.
This might be off topic. This is off topic, and it's gonna be a while.
All right, great meeting. So just please send me all your ideas before EOD. This meeting could have just been an email, but I'm very lonely.
So stop wasting time, stop wasting money, stop wasting people's experience at work by running meetings that are boring, unproductive, and disengagement. Design them for engagement. Take the lead. Run and own that meeting. Manage your participants. Recap and follow up. And be a good participant yourself. This is what, if we're all good participants, then we don't have to do any of the other stuff. We don't have to, like, intervene. So be a good participant. Take your meetings seriously. Make your meetings matter. Here's my contact information so you guys can contact me and tweet me or send me any ideas. But I do want to open it up for questions because we have how many minutes? 7 minutes? 6 minutes? 8 minutes. 8 minutes. Questions. Let me have them. Oh. Oh, sorry. Wait, what happened to it? Oh, there we go. Which one you want? That one? All right. Questions?
Mic on? Hi.
Hi.
Thank you. So just a question on the follow-up. What do you recommend for sort of written or documented follow-up? I think it's one of the biggest problems. Even if you make a concise follow-up following the rules or the suggestions you offered, just getting people to respond, you know, it seems like you just have to pull people back together, even if it's like a 15-minute stand-up. I'm wondering what suggestions you have.
So do you mean like how you get people to actually do their work or how you get them to tell you they've done it?
Well, both, but even to just give a shit afterwards. And maybe it's because they don't, you know, it goes back to the purpose and they don't understand, they don't really see that their value is there.
Yep.
I just feel like it's a big problem with all of our meetings. You go, you do a follow-up, and you're real busy, and we're probably doing too much on email,
yeah.
But you send something out, you're waiting for somebody to do the thing they have to do, and it just falls flat, and we're all busy, and then you forget because you're waiting to be tagged back.
Yeah.
And then it's like a week later, and you're like, Jesus, you know, Skip never responded. What the heck's his problem?
Yeah.
Like, it's his response, you know, so I don't know.
Maybe. So there's a couple of things. First of all, you got to find out what works in your culture. And if it's an intact team or an intact project group, then that's a conversation you actually have to have in the meeting. You have to actually say, we're not doing a very good job with doing this. What's a better way to do it? You can also put calendar notes on for yourself to check in with Skip. But there's also going to be a level of holding other people accountable for the agreements that they made. And so you'll want to be able to have a conversation. Say, hey, Skip, we had an agreement. You were going to do X, Y, and Z by today. I don't see it. What do we need to do to make this happen? So it's about accountability. It's about clear communication. If it's a group problem, having the conversation with the group. And like not being afraid and remembering to follow up.
Right, and the personal follow up.
And the personal follow up. Yep, thank you.
Hi, Mary. Thanks so much.
Hi, you're welcome.
All the tips.
What's your name?
Jill.
Jill.
One follow-up question on if you feel like there's too many people in the meeting and you want to cut some people out that you don't think need to be there, how do you communicate that without hurting their feelings because they may get FOMO or feel like they're being insulted by getting taken off the meeting?
I love that question, and this is going to sound very sexist, but how many men would ever think about hurting people's feelings? Am I right? Is it kind of a uniquely woman thing? I don't know. First of all, I don't call a lot of attention to it if I don't have to. And if I do, I would just say to somebody, I'd be like, hey, Jill, so we're going to as we run these meetings, we're paring it down to a smaller group because we're finding the large group is keeping us from, the meetings are taking too long. And we respect and value your time, and so we're going to like just move on with a smaller group. Or I would not say anything and want them to, like, I'm being passive aggressive like that. I would just let them come to me and be like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, Jill. Yeah, we've really pared down the meeting just for the people that need to be there so that other people can get on with their valuable day. So great question.
Hi, I'm Dee. So I'm a project manager in software, so I am put in the position a lot of being delegated to call a meeting, and I'll have a conversation like, hey, could you call a meeting on, you know, instating quantum flux and make sure that
I have no idea what you just said. Go ahead, yeah.
No, that's my point. Yeah. Fail in for I have no idea what we were trying to do in the meeting. And let's try to do that by the end of the week because we really need a decision. So if I'm in that position of calling a meeting that I don't fully understand the purpose of and can't fully participate in the content of, do you have any tips for that kind of
thing? Are you going to lead the meeting?
If I don't, it will be a badly run meeting.
Yeah, no, so here's the thing. If you email me, I will send you, what you need to do is we call it contract. So you need to talk to the meeting owner, right? You're not the owner of the meeting, but you're going to facilitate the meeting. And you're actually going to bring an amazing skill set to that, which is neutrality and objectivity, right? Because you don't know. You're not going to get in the weeds. And so you're going to go and ask the meeting owner, what's the purpose of this meeting? What are the conversations this group needs to have? Who needs to be here? So you are going to actually, and they're going to be like, wow, you're asking me all that. But you are going to ask those questions. And then you're going to think of a way to design the meeting. And it's actually really fun. You are actually going to be a true facilitator. Email me and I'll send you some resources. And then you know what? Here's the thing. When you're really good at it, everyone's going to ask you to run their meetings. Then you're going to be sorry you ever got good at it. Great. I guess I should go back over here. Oh, there's an alarm there.
Do you have any suggestions when a meeting agenda evolves, when there's a productive conversation that's happening and people are actively participating, but it's not the original purpose and you're worried that you might slip on your agenda?
Ah, I love that. So that's going to be a judgment call, right? There's a difference between an interesting conversation that people are enjoying and whether it's a conversation that's going to detract you from your purpose. But sometimes the conversation that evolves actually is the conversation that you should have had. So as a meeting leader, you've got to be really clear. Like we also don't want to stick to our agenda so tightly that we throw away the baby with the bathtub, whatever that expression is, right? So you've got to be aware as a meeting leader, like what's the purpose of that conversation and is it more important? And it's okay. Like I tell my clients when I facilitate meetings, I'm like, we may throw out this entire agenda. And they're like, we totally get it. Like if you find something interesting. And if you're not sure, ask the group. Always, if you're not sure what you're doing or which direction to go, ask the people in the room. They will tell you. That's a great question. So be a little flexible. I guess I sort of answered it, but it all depends, right? Thank you. Do we go back this way now? All right, yeah.
Hi, I'm KD. I'm from Salesforce.
Hi, KD.
I've been running technical meetings for about 10 years, but one of the things I have trouble with is a coworker who I love dearly that needs a whole preamble about his day, his health, what's going on with the dogs before we can have our stand-up. And I have yet to figure out how to do that.
Yeah. Have you had the conversation with them?
No, but I've been trying to get him to do agendas. He's starting to come along, but yeah, it might be a conversation.
Is he the meeting leader? Or are you the meeting
leader? It's our stand-up, right?
Oh, okay, yeah. Got it. Yeah, you're going to have the conversation. You're just like, you have to be kind and gentle but firm.
hey, Larry, here's the thing. We only have 10 minutes for the stand-up, you know. The preamble that he does, find another word for it, and say, if you need to stay afterwards and talk about that stuff, you know, we can do that. But, you know, we need to really move this meeting forward in 10 minutes.
Brene Brown talked about this last night with her team, where she just comes in. She's like, I need this. How you doing? Do you have that from yesterday? And she has found that there are some people that do need a preamble.
Yeah.
So maybe if I can shorten it.
Yeah, so here's the thing. So there are people who are task people and relationship people. I am a task person, in case you haven't been able to tell, right? But some of my team members are relationship people, which means they want to say, hi, how are you? How's the week? I'm like, just give me the Penske file. I don't care how you are. We actually negotiate. So one of my employees, her name is Laura. She's a lovely person, much nicer than I am. And we'll have a meeting, and I'll be like, Laura, how much time do you need to, like, chit-chat before we get to business? And she'll say, oh, Mary, I haven't seen you in ages. I need, like, 10 minutes. And I'll say, I'll give you 3. And then she will, like, agree on, like, 5.5. But, yeah, so, and that's a great way to actually do that, is to just say task or relationship and just negotiate a little bit. All right, they're making me stop. Oh, wah, wah, wah. All right, you guys, thank you so much. Listen. Thank you. Managing your meetings, making your meetings matter is really important. The other thing that's really important that you need to do is learn how to manage up. And I am doing a book signing at 12:30 in the bookstore. Please come by and say hi. Even if you don't have a book, if you have a question on making your meetings matter, I'm happy to answer that. And I want to thank you so much. And bye, live stream people.